It's giving shade.
It's giving dirty.
It's giving what if.
Hey listeners, before we jump in today, I would like to share a disclaimer. The views and opinions in this podcast episode are 100% strictly my own. They do not reflect any professional organization, business, or board with which I am associated. The content of this podcast is for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Let's jump in.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of It's Giving What If. It's me, Albs, and I'm just hanging out. The new year went, it came, it's gone. We're in 2024. I'm still kind of shocked that we're in a whole new year because last year seemed like it was going to be forever, and now we're in a whole other year. And last year was just a year full of amazing things, you know, but also a lot of like lows for a lot of people. It was a very hard year. So I'm just glad that I made it through and I'm ready to see what this year has in store. And so, listener, today I have a pretty awesome guest. We've recently, we've met each other a few years ago now, what, like 2 years ago, maybe three? Two, three?
Yeah, right around two.
Okay. 2 years ago, and really hit it off with this person. I think they're really awesome, and they have so many different layers and interesting things to them, and I wanted to bring them on the podcast today so all of you can kind of dive a little deeper into some topics that we love talking about culturally, and just kind of looking at the intersectionality of being human and what that looks like across different cultures. And so I'd like to introduce Beauregard. Welcome, Beauregard. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah, good. Like I was just saying, it's crazy to think like the year ended and we're moving forward with a whole new year. What, like 300 plus days left? So I'm curious to see where this year will go.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, I think.
Yeah. It's scary because it's going to be an election year, and so I'm kind of nervous to see what that will do.
Yeah, that's always a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because people get wild, and then politicians just love to fight it out for everybody. Yeah.
I'm just like, and make everybody else fight, you know?
Exactly.
Like we've seen Trump likes to stir the pot and let people at it and let them destroy the country.
They always say, like, just enough to piss people off, but not enough to, you know, be held accountable for it. So they just keep doing what they're doing.
Oh yeah. So here at It's Giving What If, we like to start with a annoyance. Like, what's been something that's been hella annoying to you here lately?
I would say probably the thing that's been hella annoying to me has been combination of like the 5-day work week and the fact that jobs that are totally able to be done remote are not allowed to be done remote because you've got all those old heads in positions of power that want to keep everyone in.
Yep.
And that drives me insane.
Yeah. Have you been battling that at work?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I think I was only like 2, maybe 3 weeks into this job when I started there a little over a year ago. I would think it was 3 weeks in, and I was like, hey boss, why the fuck do you have me in office? This is stupid. Yeah. Yeah. I sit at a computer, I don't talk to people, right? Like I don't, like, all of my communication about the job is through email. And like, as I've been like learning the job, I've obviously had to, you know, talk to some of the other people that are in the office, but it would be just as easy to do that over email and also then have that email to refer back to so I don't have to ask the question again.
Exactly. Exactly.
But alas, here I am 5 days a week in an office.
Yeah, I wonder when they're going to decide, like, you know what, this actually scientifically, there's proof that this doesn't work, you know, like,
We're
just not meant to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the evidence is already there, right? Like, they've already done so many studies about it. people, like I said, you just got the old heads that are like, I want to see you face to face.
Right.
Bitch, I can see your face on my screen just fine.
Exactly. You know damn well they just do that because they want to make sure they can like watch you, but it's like they're probably jacking off or doing something. Like, they're not even like doing their job. So
yeah, like, so I have to, through my process, I quote things and then I have to go get my pricing approved by my VP of sales. He's always been adamant of, I want to see you face to face when I approve your number.
Oh my god.
Yet 90% of the time that I go to try and talk to him and get that pricing, he's not in his office. So I email it to him anyway.
And he approves it.
And he approves it and sends it on back and says, use this for pricing. And I'm like, why am I here?
Yeah, that is, that's stupid. So stupid. But again, I think it's like this weird, like, power dynamic. Like, a lot of times bosses just want to be like in control. They want to make sure you work your hours and they want to micromanage you. And it's like, that doesn't promote like a healthy work environment. Like, I know there's jobs, right, that you have to be in person. Like, it you can't get around it. Like, a doctor, for the most part, probably needs to see patients in person.
Mm-hmm.
They're virtual, but, you know, it's not the same. But, right. Like, something like you said, like, you can easily minimize your time of driving to work, having to get up and, like, drive somewhere, think about what you're going to wear, plan what you're going to do for lunch. You know, all those other little things that take up extra time can be gone if they're just like, you know what, work from home. That you can do it, and it's effective. We've seen COVID really made it possible for all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And COVID happened before I started this job. And so I've kind of heard like some stories about that, of like what it was like, because obviously everyone went virtual. They all had laptops at home that they were working off of.
Mm-hmm.
Super simple, super easy. It's like, there's no reason why I can't do that.
Yep.
Our manufacturing team, they've got to be on site because they have to actually weld the things together and build it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I click clack on some keys all day and sit on and scroll through TikTok. I don't need to fucking be here.
Yeah.
I'd much rather be home.
Part of work, or is that just like your...
That is, I consider it part of work because it helps me keep my sanity.
So tell me, what is your algorithm? What's on your algorithm when you get on TikTok?
Lately, it's been a lot of Baldur's Gate and cooking, okay, and car hacks and car restorations.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. What's your algorithm been looking like?
It's usually like, I'm trying to think. I don't get on TikTok that often, but like, let me just pull it up. Usually it's like dancing. Mm-hmm. I think there's like some cooking, some cleaning, life hacks, travel. That's a big one that's been on mine, is traveling to different places. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Honolulu's on there. K-pop.
Yeah, makes sense.
More like lifestyle stuff, you know?
Okay.
So nothing super like exciting. You know, I know people that are like, I'm on lesbian bread TikTok. And I'm like, what the heck is that? Like,
it's a magical side of TikTok.
Really? Have you been on there?
Yes, I was on lesbian bread TikTok for like a little bit. And now I'm just on like cishet cottagecore bread occasionally. And I'm like, really? You're not as fun. No. I don't. That focaccia doesn't look the same. It doesn't look as appetizing.
No, I need to find how to get on that, because like, I've heard like lumberjack TikTok's really hot. So I don't know how to find that. I don't know what I need to start searching, but I need to
flannels, knit caps. You should be able to find your way to there.
Paul Bunyan.
There you go.
Beards. That will get you there. Beard oil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm gonna start using TikTok in 2024 for more like fun.
New resolution. I love it.
Yeah. So talking about New Year's resolution, I'm glad you mentioned that, because like, so my annoyance has been New Year's resolutions, because like, I feel, and like, listener, I'm sorry if y'all believe in them or want to do them. It's just one of these things that's like, I've tried it. I think we've all fucking thought about it. Like, what's my New Year's resolution? And like, we all damn sure know we're going to fail. Like, nobody's really, I mean, I shouldn't say nobody, but most people are not successful with their resolutions. And so, like, I really just think it's a waste of, like, energy to say that. So, like, for me, I've really been trying to be more, like, I'm just going to set intentions. Like, I'm going to try to be more this way. I'm going to try to be more productive, more creative. I'm going to try to push myself to get out of my comfort zone and do things that I normally wouldn't do. And so I feel like that sets me up for more success than saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to lose 5 pounds or I'm going to do this. Because, like, a lot of times that's bullshit. I saw this meme and it was, like, I think it was January 1st. And they're, like, oh, already ruined my New Year's resolution. 2025 is going to be a great year. And so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and that's, like, I know we've talked before, but, like, my background is mental health, right? And so, like, that we talk about that mental health all the time, right? With CBT, with DBT, we talk about that kind of stuff of, like, look, these big resolutions that you have, they're great and all, and I love that you have them. But I mean, I worked in substance abuse recovery. Even though all of the parole and parole officers hated me for it, I was like, I don't fucking care that you smoked weed. You're not shooting up heroin.
Right.
Great. Right. You know what? I'll take it. So, right. So it's like all of these little things of, like, this little intention of, like, hey, you know what? This week I'm going to have one plant-based meal without any meat.
Right.
Cool.
Right.
That's way better than being like, oh yeah, 2024, I'm going to trim down, have that sexy beach body six pack. Like,
if you get there, cool.
If that works, hell yeah. But, like, a huge percentage of people are just, it's not going to work that way because our brains don't work that way.
Right.
Because our system doesn't work that way.
Exactly. Well, it's just like, think about it this way. Like, if you stay for your back, I'm going to be celibate this year. Like, that's BS. You're going to, like, how about we kiss, like, 10% less boys? Or, you know, like, make it, like, something that's more realistic. And, like, again, like you were saying, like, if we mimic, like, counseling, like, you set, like, very specific goals that are measurable, attainable, realistic, and times pounds and know that you're not going to do it. Like, say I'm going to start going out for a walk. Let that be what you start with, you know? But, like, if losing that weight is a side effect or a result of that, cool. But I think that a lot of times people put all this pressure on, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. New year, this is me. And it doesn't work. It really doesn't work.
Yeah. When I think so many of the things that we make resolutions around are demonized by our society, right? So it's like, oh, if you're big, you're overweight, you're obese, right? So we always talk about it like that. So everyone's like, 2024, I don't want to be obese. I want to, you know, guess what? All bodies are fucking different.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not at a weight that I would like to be at, I would like to be a little lighter, but guess what? I am more healthy than I was when I was 165 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I look back at myself and I look at myself and my first instinct is like, oh, I was so skinny. I looked great. And then I'm like, no, but look at those dark circles under my eyes.
Yeah.
And then I think back to, like, that time of my life and I was like, I slept like 2 hours a night, maybe.
Yeah.
I was working out constantly. Every night. Yeah. Like, I was doing all of this. I was in the worst health of my life because I was so focused on, like, oh, I got to look this way. Right. I got to do CrossFit. Everyone's doing CrossFit. I got to do CrossFit. Yeah, sure. I lost a bunch of weight. I was dying.
Yeah. And that is such a real thing, you know, because I think that we think about it, right? Like, that's one of the things that, again, like, I've struggled with my whole life is, like, being in a bigger body. I'm like, sure, I want to be in a smaller body, but I also want to make sure that I'm healthy and I'm happy and, like, I'm not where I want to be right now and I want to continue to work towards that. But I think we all need to learn to just love where we're at, because I think oftentimes, like, we're told your body's not desirable, people don't like you. And even, I mean, you could be, I'm married and that's shit. I still have that narrative in my head sometimes. You know, like the other day, I like had a huge meltdown. Actually, I think it was before New Year's. And I was like, Jacob, nothing fits. I am so, like, gross. And, like, I literally just had, like, a full blown meltdown. And he was so good and supportive. And, like, he's like, no, like, you know, like, I love you. Like, I don't care what, you know, your body looks like. Your body's perfect. And, like, that's helpful. But I think that we just have so much self-hatred because society makes you hate your body.
Yeah.
that we forget that, no, that there are people that love our bodies. We may not love them, but there's a lot of people out there that may love them, you know? And like I said, my husband loves them. There's a bunch of other guys out there that fetishize over like bears or bigger boys, you know? And so like, I think, but also again, it's like, you don't need the validation of everybody else, but it is nice to know that like you are attractive to other people, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like I remember in, as a counselor, that's one of the things that I talked about, like, hey, at the end of the day, for you to be able to stay sober and not go back to your drug of choice, it's going to eventually have to be a you thing.
Right.
But guess what? If you're here in rehab because your mom made you,
right,
even your parole officer made you and said you can go to jail or you can go to rehab, and you chose to come to rehab,
right,
that's a fine enough starting point. And so like that outside validation is a totally fine place to start.
Yeah.
Yeah, and can really reinforce
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, that's my whole, like, I fucking just hate New Year's resolutions because I also feel like people use those to prey on other people. You know, like I see a lot of people who like do those like pyramid schemes and they're like the Avon and like the Herbalife and all those, and like, oh, these people are all going to start their New Year's resolution. Let's go attack their insecurities and be like, oh, you need these products so you can be prettier in 2024. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
And I know people who have done that. Like I used to be in like one of those, like I probably shouldn't say their name because they're going to like sue me or something, but like I did it for me. And like, as a result, like, it worked for me while I was doing it. And I talked to some people about it, but I just never pushed it on people. But I knew people who'd be like, oh, go talk to that person. They're fat. They need to lose weight. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, that is not how this works. You can't prey on people. And then even then, like, I see people be like, oh, that kid's fat. And I'd be like, you're fucking sick. Like, you, the way you see the world is just gross. Like, they just look for profit to like off of people's insecurities.
Mm-hmm. Constantly. It's just always, how can I fuck with somebody else to get my bag? I'm like,
exactly.
That's a horrible way to fucking live.
Yeah. Not how I want to live at all. Especially in 2024. Intention. My biggest intention for 2024 is just to challenge myself to be a better human and to be more like more loving towards other people and try to make other people feel more like accepted, because I do still think, even though like we're in like more progressive times, I still feel there's just a lot of like people that feel like no one cares for them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So all right, so now that we've gotten through that, I have some what if questions for you. Wouldn't be the name of the podcast if I didn't ask you some questions.
Absolutely.
So are you ready?
I'm ready.
So what if you went home today and had a letter saying that you had 10 minutes to pack up what you could because you were being sent to Mars on a top secret mission and you had no way out of it?
You know, I've talked a lot with my partner before about how to quickly and efficiently fake my own death.
Really?
Look, student loans suck ass. So yeah, if I can make them disappear and we don't have to pay for them, I'm all for it.
you would find a way to die.
If I only had 10 minutes, I don't think I could be efficient enough at that. No, I would say, fuck. I think this is the problem that I always have with like what if questions, is like my brain starts like calculating all the things of like, okay, so if I take my handheld PC, will I have a charger? Like, will I be able to plug into an outlet, or am I going to be fucked without it? And if like, what do I do in that instance?
But what would be the most important thing you would want to have with you?
This is going to be cheesy as fuck, but my wedding ring.
Okay.
Like, which, I mean, it would already be on my hand anyway, but right, that would be one thing that I'm like, I'm always going to make sure that that's on. I would make sure I've got a hair tie.
Okay.
Because I don't mind letting my hair down, but then it starts tickling my neck sometimes and it's got to go. It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Some clothes, probably grab my handheld PC and its charger just to make sure. If I've got the option, it's there. Probably my phone, so I could take some photos of shit.
Yeah.
And I feel like that probably would be it. Like my phone, my wallet would already be on me, my PC, and just, you know, if I grab some clothes and toss them into a thing and let it ride from there.
Nice. What would be the like look that you would want to go for in space or Mars? Yeah, space.
Well, I mean, I am a big proponent of comfy as fuck clothing. Mm-hmm. So I would probably just like immediately grab my stack of sweatpants and t-shirts and grab a couple hoodies. So that would probably be my go-to. Because I know that, like, if I'm in Mars, they're going to have to provide me with a spacesuit if I'm supposed to leave the ship. So
yep,
I'm going to look like whatever they want me to look like, apparently.
All right, cool. Well, you may get a letter in the mail in the next few days. Who would be the people that you would want to absolutely know that you were leaving?
You know, I'm not really like a... I like people. I like people being, like... happy and content with stuff, but I'm also very much like a background person. Like I do really enjoy, I mean, I've always enjoyed, you know, being in front of camera, on stage, all that kind of stuff, but also at the same time I always want to be in the background and make sure everybody else is taken care of. Number one, part of the negative side of that, or the maladaptive part of that, is that I also don't give a fuck about people. Like I don't really have like a lot of close relationships, and that's kind of by design because I kind of just don't really care. So the only person or people that I would really like, my partner, and I'd send a couple of messages out in the group messages, and then I'd deuces.
Love that.
That's probably about it.
Yeah. So do you keep your friend circle pretty small?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really small.
Listen, that's the goal for 2024.
Look, so when I got married, I was like a month later, I think, Chance the Rapper dropped his like wedding album that he did, and his like lovey-dovey thing. And we were both really upset after we heard the album, because we were like, this would have been the only thing playing at the fucking wedding. But of course it came out after we got married. But there was one line that he says, and he says, "I don't want anybody at my wedding who won't be there for my marriage." And that's something that's always really resonated with both of us, of just like, yeah, nah, like, I don't want you to be a part of my big moments if you're not gonna ever be there for anything else.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and that's the interesting thing, because like again, with like the idea of like how to clean house like for 2024, it's been like one of those things, but it's been like a process for me since like I was getting ready for the wedding. Kind of had that mentality of like, who do I want here? Only people that are part of our marriage and a part of our like journey as a couple, because like, yeah, that is the hardest part. I know so many people, but at the same time, like, I don't feel like everyone that I know are people that I consider friends, you know. And I think that's one of the things, is you start looking at how do you thin those out, and how do you identify, this is someone that is important, that I would want them to know if I am going to go on this journey and leave this world, you know. And so I do, because I think that there's people in my life that like even were at my wedding that I'm like, I have not seen since the wedding, or talked to, or know anything of them. And I'm like, interesting, you know, like, and so it is a really intriguing thing. You make people part of like your special moments, and then you're like, do they really care about you? Like, what kind of friendship do you have with these people? And so it is very interesting to start kind of looking at those dynamics with relationships. You know, I get it, people get busy, but it's like, I like what you said, are they going to be there during your marriage, you know, when you need them? If you have a problem with your, you know, in your, like, and not even partner, because I'm not a person that's like, if I get in a fight with my partner, I'm not going to go like, oh my God, guess what? You know, like, no, I work shit out with my partner, you know, but like,
right.
If something happens to y'all, like, who's going to be there to support y'all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a hard thing. And it's, I've always been kind of a loner, so that kind of just like carried through with that. Mm-hmm. But as I've gotten older and become less of a loner and more of just like an intentional relationship kind of person, it's been very much like a, I'm not going to put my time into it if you're not there.
Yeah.
And I'm all for, like, I could have people that I went to high school with that I have not talked to since graduation day could hit me up. And I'm still there. I'm still that kind of a person that I'm still going to like help out. I'm still going to be someone you can talk to, but also at the same time, like, you're also not going to know a lot about me if you're not actually involved in my life.
Right.
If you're not interested, you're not interested. I'm fine with that. I would be 100% content with just me and my partner. I'd be good. We could be the last two people on earth and I'd probably be good. That doesn't mean I don't want relationships with other people, because I do enjoy going out, having a good time and spending time with people. But if you're not going to put any effort into it, I'm not going to put any effort into it.
That's why it is important to have a partner that you can like spend all your time with, because like that's the point, is marrying your best friend.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next, what if? What if you woke up in an alternate reality where every detail of your life was opposite, but only if you thought about it? So let me give you an example. I know that's a little complex. So let's say you woke up today, you're in this alternate universe, and you're like, but wait, where's my dog? Then it wouldn't exist. So, but if you woke up and you're like, wait, where's my cat? Then you would have the opposite reaction. So like you would say an intention and the opposite would happen. And so what are some things that you would purposely try to manipulate so that they would manifest in this alternate timeline?
Zero student loans.
Love that. For you or for all?
For all. Okay. No, I'm a very very communal person in that regard. Now if it's for me, it's for everybody. Get all that shit out of there. I don't care that other people have paid it in the past.
Right.
I don't want to pay it in my future. So
right.
They can all go away. Politicians getting paid.
Ooh, okay.
I would probably flesh that out a little bit more and like thinking through the way that I think that would work, but they get paid too damn much to do too little of nothing.
Period.
Man, probably try to fix my car and my partner's car. Get us a house, like own a home on property that we can do whatever the fuck we want with.
Yep.
And which I feel like all of this sounds really vain, but all of this is like in my head, I'm like, if and this comes back to all kinds of other things too, but like if my necessities are taken care of, then I have the space and time to do all the other stuff.
Period.
Right? Like I would love to end world hunger, and that's probably something I'd throw on the table. That's something that I'd love to do. But also, I know that world hunger doesn't mean ending world hunger doesn't mean shit if people are still assholes.
Cool. Yeah.
We already have enough food on this planet to feed every single person healthily.
Yes.
Great. And yet we still have people all over the world, even in the great United States of America, who constantly go to bed hungry.
Yes.
So that would probably be another thing. I would work to find a way to get rid of all the isms, racism, sexism, try to get rid of patriarchy and LGBTQIA plus hate. And then I would get rid of the police. Just gone.
Yep.
There's way too many better options out there. They can get the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be pretty awesome. Definitely. I could see that. Let's make this happen.
Listening to my little anarchist, get all these fuckers gone.
You know, there'd be less problems if they were gone.
I mean, I do have my mother-in-law talking about abolishing different governmental systems and agencies. And I was like, this is not conversations I ever anticipated having. This is great.
Wow. I love that. Love that. Final question.
Okay.
What if a bitter ex of yours got a Netflix multi-million dollar contract to do a show about y'all's relationship? Every detail exposed of every like possible thing that you could think of. Who would you not want to watch this show?
You know, this kind of comes back to the earlier question about like people in your life, and that like intentionality. The only people that I would like care about knowing anything about that already do. So honestly, for me, I'm like, the only thing I would want to know is whether or not I'm getting any fucking royalties. If you're going to air my shit, I better be getting something out of this.
They're going to change your name.
But yeah, I think, yeah, I don't. Yeah, the only people that I care about knowing anything, I already do know it. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, there. I've done some shitty things. I've had some shitty relationships, and I've had not been a great person.
Yeah.
As you get to know me, if we're tight, you'll start to learn some of this stuff. Yeah. Slowly but surely, you'll know more and more about my background, where I come from, and all of those things. So, yeah, I wouldn't really.
Well, it's, you know, and I think that's one of the things that's like, we can't give those skeletons power, you know, because I think if we give them power, then people can use them against you. And we can't let people weaponize our own past, you know, and if anything, you know, and like, I don't know much about your past, but like, I know that like the person you are today obviously is not that person. And like, if we truly are, we believe in people growing and changing, then we can't measure who they are by an outdated version of themselves. Like, it's not fair. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, Bo, in fourth grade, you cheated on the test. I know you're a bad person. Like, sorry. We all probably did bad shit. When I was in, like, I don't even know how old I was. I ate chocolate at a TJ Maxx. I went to the bathroom and ate it. And so, am I a thief? No. You know, but you do shit.
Yeah. Are you a thief? No. Have you stolen things? Sure.
Hell yeah.
Damn straight.
Damn straight. In high school and college. Yeah.
Look, we've all been broke. I get it. Yeah. And I think that's the thing is like, it's also something me and my partner have talked about too, of like, there's so much stuff coming out about different people in their past.
Yeah.
I can't hold you to that. Like, no. What are you doing right now?
Right.
You said whatever fucking thing you said, you did whatever fucking thing you did back in the day. Okay, is the life that you're currently living, does that still reflect that same sentiment, or is that different?
Period.
Right? Like, that's the whole idea about like the quote unquote justice system was supposed to be about reform.
Right.
However, if I ever get convicted, every employer that I try to work with is going to run a background check and be like, hey, what was this?
You're a sex offender.
You know? Yeah, right. And it's like, it shouldn't matter what those things are because according to the system, I served my time. I did what I was supposed to do. I spent my 5 to 25. I got out and I've not done anything since then. And I'm trying to make a better life.
And you've changed. You're I've being changed. A better human.
Right. That shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, things I've done in my past. We've talked before about like my history of being a evangelical cult leader.
Yeah,
that's what I was.
Some of that here in the day.
Yeah, like I was. That's what I was raised into. That's what I was taught. I thought that way because that's what I knew. You know.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be accepted. I didn't have anywhere where I felt accepted, and so I finally found a place where I felt accepted and where I felt like that was the case. And so, man, did I drink the fucking Kool-Aid. I picked up the pitcher and chugged that constantly. And then said and did probably a lot of things, things that I probably don't even remember, that were harmful. I also think I did a lot of good things in terms of helping people.
Right.
And for the most part, was not on the worst end of being an evangelical Christian. And I think a big part of that comes from the fact that I was raised in a heavily Latino population, heavily Catholic, which is different for any listeners that don't know. Catholic and evangelical, vastly different ways of thinking about like people and Christianity in general. And I've
evangelicals, they're the ones that like try to convert people and bring them in, right? Or no, is that?
Yeah, so evangelicals are going to be all of like the mega churches, all of the people that are, there's some different like, because again, I went to Bible college, I've done a lot of this, but evangelical, generally people think of evangelical and they're going to say Southern Baptists, Baptists, maybe some of your like First Christians and stuff like that, but most of the time you can kind of pick an evangelical church out by the church that is doing just enough in the community that people can recognize the name that are in that community, but mm-hmm. all of their stuff and their goals are about getting butts in their seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, hey, we do this homeless ministry where we go out and we feed these people and give them all resources to get them back into our church.
Yeah, it's the one that like has the sign that like invite someone to church today, right?
All of those, yeah. Hey, invite someone to church this month. Yeah, all of those signs, those are all going to be evangelical churches. Yeah. Evangelical is just kind of like the big broad category for all of the popular churches now.
Cults.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's one of the big things now that I've kind of deconstructed and gotten away from that is like evangelical does it is a cult, right? So as a cult, pretty much the defining factors of a cult is one specific face leader, typically a man who is in charge, makes decisions, and gets followers to follow specifically what that one individual says. Mm-hmm. Like they make the rules always. Yeah. So yeah, that's evangelicalism in a nutshell, a cult.
Cool. So now kind of transitioned away from the what if questions, and this is a perfect segue. So let's just, you know, for the listeners, they don't know who you are. Can you start by just telling like listeners who you are, and what labels you give yourself or like you would identify with today?
Yeah. So today, hi, I'm Bo. the labels, I'm not really big on labels. So most of my labels are non-labels, but like I would say, ambiguously queer, gender non-conforming, any pronoun based on how you're feeling and whether or not I look sexy in this dress, I guess.
How do you put that on a name tag?
It's usually I put it on my forehead because my forehead is a little bit bigger than the space they give you for a name tag. So it's a little complicated. I love usually that. Have a billboard like strapped to my back that displays all of this.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah. But yeah, just generally loving, try to be kind. I'm going to be blunt and kind of a dick, but it's because I care, which sounds really like traumatic. And yeah, sure, that's the case. But yeah, also,
I'm hearing kind, loving dick, sexy dress. That's. You know, for that's a lot of layers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of all over the place. It depends on the day.
Yeah. So would you, so kind of like rewinding back to that person you were talking about in the cult, what labels do you think were important then for you in identifying yourself in the world?
Yeah, so at that time, It was always the biggest thing to be like, the first descriptor you need to know about me is I'm a Christ follower. So that, and then in evangelical and right-wing Christian culture, there's this big idea of like men are men and women are women. So that was kind of like still, that was kind of there for myself, even though I wasn't as like, about it, if that makes sense. So right. I was still like, I like my guns and I like my coffee black, but I'm not an asshole. I'm blunt, but I'm not an asshole. So yeah, those are kind of the things of like, I'm a Christian man who loves Jesus and wants to help others.
Okay. So how did like you go from being, you know, like evangelical Christian man to like gender nonconforming? To gender nonconforming, ambiguously queer human.
Yeah. So like I said, I've always been like just really inquisitive person. I always asked a lot of questions, and that was frowned upon in Christian culture that I was growing up in. You don't ask a lot of questions. This is the answers. Move on with your life. And then I was like, I think I want to be a pastor. Like I want to be that person that like helps people and shepherds people and like helps people know the way. And so then I went to Bible college, and turns out, if you didn't know this, most of the people who go to Bible college with that idea end up leaving not having that idea.
So that's actually very interesting you say that, because I took a training a few weeks ago on religious trauma. And one of the things that I kind of was putting together was this idea that people with higher, who seek out higher education, tend to leave the church or tend to push past all of those like oppressive views. And like, I asked the presenter that, and she didn't want to really make that association, because I think like, in a way, like I understand what I'm saying, but I think for a lot of people they would hear like, oh, so ignorant people stay in it. But I don't think it's necessarily that it's ignorant. I think it's that people that aren't taught to think critically, people that aren't those are people that stay in that. But when people go to this higher education, even if it is a Bible college, you're taught to look at things from different aspects and say, why? Yeah. What is this? Let me look at the research. Let me look at the facts. And so I'm glad you kind of made that same association.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I remember hearing, because my partner also wanted to be a pastor, and was told, hey, don't go to seminary. Seminary will ruin you.
And is that what you went to?
So I didn't technically go to seminary. Seminary is technically like master's level. Undergraduate was what I was doing. and I agree. I think the big thing with it is our school system in general, like even non, religious, just like straight up regular public school, doesn't really teach us to be critical thinkers, right? Like maybe your English classes have talked about like, oh, critical thinking about this text, but not really. It's hidden under all of this. And so they talk about it, but then especially in religion, you're taught that questioning things means you, at least, I guess I shouldn't say all religion, but I'll specifically talk about what I grew up in. But like, it's questioning things is not you trying to develop an understanding. It's the devil working in you to make you, put you on shaky faith or shaky ground with, you know, with the Lord. And so you're not really taught how to critically think. And then when you get to that higher education, where that is a little bit more of like a, no, we're done telling you the things, you're going to learn the things, and you're going to learn and come up with your own information. Now, granted, there's still a little bit of academia still kind of rooted in that idea of we have answers to a lot of stuff,
right?
Even though we don't. But that's kind of where that all began for me, is learning more how to question these things. And well, what if this isn't this? And then my partner, who I've been friends with for a long time, we grew up in youth group together. So then we both kind of started talking about that kind of a thing and dissecting it. And then we read a book together that is written by a guy who was really big in evangelical Christianity, like had movies and wrote Bible studies, and everybody thought he was great and wrote a bunch of books and did book tours and stuff. And then he, at one point in one of his books, was like, no, everybody goes to heaven. You don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven. And they were like, ah, he's a heretic. Burn him at the stake. Dumped him real quick. So he ended up getting, he wrote another book years later. And that's a book that we read. And it talked a lot about like questioning those things and understanding like, hey, all of these, and I always come back to one of the things he said in the Jewish tradition before Christianity, the rabbis, the teachers had this idea of looking at a gem and like you pick up the text, whatever you're trying to analyze, and you pick it up and then you can turn it and look at a different side of it. And it's the same gem. But if I was holding it right here, I'm looking at one face of it and you're looking at a different face of it. We're seeing two different things, but it's the same thing.
Period.
And so then that kind of carried into dissecting all kinds of stuff. Cause as soon as like the door was kind of like cracked for me to start questioning things, I was like, oh, let's go full tilt. I'm off and running.
Wow.
And so, yeah, very quickly I was just like, oh, all of this is trash. This is what I think. This is what Bo thinks about the world and life and all of this stuff.
How old were you when that kind of transition started happening?
Let's see. So I went to Bible college at 18. And so that was when I kind of first got that little bit of a taste of it. And then let's see, 21 was kind of when that all kind of happened. Mm-hmm. I read that book, I think when I was late 20, early 21 age. And then from then on, it was just like, probably before I turned 22, I had already kind of taken all of it and chucked it out the window and started buying new shit, kind of a thing. Yeah. Of like, it was, for me, it was like a whole like closet purge. Like, none of this shit fits. Get it out of here. It's going. And I'm heading off in this direction.
How far after that did you and your partner start dating, or was it before that?
Me and my partner started dating. Let's see, that would have been later that same year. Yeah.
Okay. So like at that time, like, were you even aware that you were queer, or like, had you thought about it before all of those things started happening, or how did that chronologically play out?
Yeah, no, I had never really thought about it. Again, in evangelical Christianity where I grew up, it was like, man, the Bible says one man and one woman and that's it. So that's kind of what I did. And so I was just like, that dude's hot. Yeah, like I look at Jason Momoa on screen, I'm like, yeah, no, he's hot. So I don't know what to tell you. You
have those feelings though, like you're
a hormone. So like in my whole life, like now looking back, I've always had like those different moments of like, oh no, I did think that my friend was attractive. But it was always just explained to me like, no, like anybody can think anybody's attractive,
really,
but you wouldn't be with somebody.
Act on it, right?
Because at the time, the people that I was talking to, I was still thinking that I was heterosexual. So it wasn't like a, no, you don't need to act on it. It was just like, no, it's totally normal for you to look at another person, regardless of their gender, and be like, no, that's an attractive person.
Interesting.
And then move on with your life, which I know is very different from what a lot of other people have experienced.
Yeah, because in a weird, I hate you to even say this, but in a weird way, that's almost kind of a little progressive. Like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, and it was, and it was really odd for me. Well, I guess like looking back and like hearing other people's stories of how that wasn't the case for them, of like, right. Oh, so you like any thought about a person of the same gender for you was immediately villainized and demonized. Right.
Yeah, and that's why I was like, I would assume if you would have had those thoughts, they'd be like, that's the devil, that's a sin, like you cannot think like that, like immediately shutting it down.
Yeah, and that's typically the story that we hear, right? But like for me, it was weird because it wasn't that. It was like it's totally natural for people to look at other people and be like, nah, that person's attractive.
Wow.
I've had close people in that evangelical space at the time. Well, they were close at the time, who said stuff like that. They're like, no, like I will admit that I look on that screen, I look at that movie and I say, yeah, that's an attractive man or that's an attractive woman, but I'm not sexually attracted to them.
Interesting. That's how they rationalize.
That's how they would rationalize it. Yeah. It was very interesting.
So at what age would you say after that? Like, so, you know, like obviously hormones, everyone's a teenager. You get turned on by doorknobs, you know, like at what age would you say, like after that, like kind of when you were starting to like deconstruct all this, were you like, oh no, this is not just like what they were saying. This is like, I want to be like in bed with this, you know, with Jason Momoa, like making out. Like, when did that threshold change for you?
So that happened after I was with my partner. And I don't remember where along that line. I think we were already married at that point. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, we were already married at that point. And it was just kind of like we kind of talked about it and we were like, no, like that wasn't just like a casual, no, I'm attracted, but not sexually attracted. I was legitimately sexually attracted, however you want to put that. Like, yeah. So it was after that point we kind of talked about it. Cause I think for me, it was going back to the small circle of people. It was like at the end of the day, I just want to be with you. So I don't really care what parts you have. I don't really care how you present your gender to the world. That's irrelevant to me. I like the person that you are. And so then all of that was just kind of like I found the person that I wanted to be with. So all the other information was irrelevant. Wow. And then we got to that point of, for me, and then I was like, oh, well, yeah, it wasn't just like looking at people and thinking they were attractive. Like, no, I legitimately was not heterosexual, but I already found the person I want to be with, so I don't really care about any of the other stuff.
Yeah, that's so wild to think like you just one day have like this huge like awakening, like, oh, that's what that was, you know? Like,
yeah,
you know, like for me on my journey, like I knew at a young age boys were hot. Did I know what that meant or what I thought? But like, not necessarily, but I knew that like I was getting warm feelings down there and yeah, it wasn't because I was peeing, you know, like it was more than that. And so like, I mean, but I would say I was very like aware sexually, like at a very young age, probably like age, how old are you in fifth grade? Like 10 or whatever, 10-ish, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, I knew what that felt like in my body. And so I think like the summer between fifth to sixth grade, I was like, oh, I like boys and this feels good. And so like I was full on like doing things. And so like I can't imagine not like having to repress it, you know, like, and I don't know, would you say you felt like it was repressed for you or like how would you describe it?
Yeah, like kind of looking back, just being like, because I've had this conversation with my partner too, of just like, no, if we were with the information we have now, if we were to go back to when we were kids, if we put this brain and put it back in, you know, little Bo, would I have behaved any different?
Right.
I don't know. I don't feel like I was repressed. And there's this idea of like, well, maybe I missed out on like some experiences or opportunities. But I don't feel, I don't know. It's kind of like a hard question. Cause again, like I said, my story of how people reacted to me in my culture isn't the same as everybody else was. Mm-hmm. Right. So it wasn't like a shove all of this stuff down. It was just like oh no, like that's healthy and normal. We just move on from it. Yeah. So it's like maybe still repression, but in a different kind of way that doesn't feel as limiting. Like,
right.
Yeah. Still probably like looking at the biggest picture, we still came in a little bit, but it wasn't all the way shut down like so many other people have had to had to go through.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, like, and I think that like the cool thing for you is even through all that, you were able to find your partner that you connected on, like emotionally, sexually, spiritually, all of those things like were there. And so like you didn't necessarily not have those other things, but I'm curious, like, would you, like, do you feel like you have not fully had a chance to explore like your gender expression or your like gender identity, or even just like your sexuality as an adult now that you're like able to reflect back?
Yeah, no, that's a totally fair question. You know, I don't, because me and my partner are so open with each other, I still have never felt like, in fact, the first time I bought a dress, they encouraged me to do it. I was I don't know, this is cute, I guess, but I don't know. I don't know that I'd ever wear it. And they were like, it's got buttons from neck all the way to crotch. So even if you decide you don't want the dress, you can just open it and wear pants and a shirt underneath and no one will know the difference.
Love that.
So go for it.
Love that.
Go ahead, buy those fishnet stockings, run with it. Let your hair grow out, braid it, don't braid it, cut it off, don't cut it off, don't cut it off. Actually, leave it. I like it. But yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, I feel very like blessed and lucky to be able to say all of those things and know that like my story, while not an easy one, is not as hard as it could have been. And I'm like, you know, it's like one of those things where I'm like, man, like I'm grateful that I didn't have to go through all of that, but also hate the fact that we sit here and be like, oh, your smaller traumas, that's good. That's at least it wasn't as big of a trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, no. How long ago did you buy your first dress?
For your wedding.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So how did, like, did you feel euphoric? Like what, like, you know, like, did you know you always wanted to, or how did it kind of like, how did it manifest that, like, to that event?
Yeah. So it was just kind of, for me, it took us moving from the city that we were in, right? Where we were born and raised and we spent all of our life. We finally left there and moved out here to Oklahoma City and finally felt like we had the freedom to kind of explore who we are as individuals.
Yeah.
And then as a couple as well, but get that ability to do that. And so I was always kind of like a, oh no, that dress is cute. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. And then just, but then was always like, again, going back to what we talked about earlier with like body dysphoria of like, I don't look like literally anybody in any of the photos of any product ever. Right. Like I can look at the men's section and I'm not skinny. I don't have abs. I don't look like that. And then I look at the women's clothing section and I don't look like any of the people in the ads. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I wasn't born with those parts. So now what do I do? So it was always this body dysphoria of like, no, that's cute. I might look good in it, but like that's built differently. And so then it was just kind of one of those things where I was like, we're going to this wedding, and the last wedding that I went to, I looked hot as hell because I was in, we had gone and I'd bought a black t-shirt and I had, it was like a red blazer and matching pants and then a felt hat.
Oh, wow.
Looked great. I looked awesome. We walked into that wedding and everyone was like, who the fuck are these people? They don't belong here. And that was a nice feeling. Because everyone was like, we met family there and they were like, we were very confused of who you were. And we're like, it was really funny because everyone was just like, we were sitting here trying to figure out who you were because it was during COVID. So we had masks on. So everyone was like, I don't know who these people are. I think they're in the wrong place. I was like, I don't even own wedding clothes anymore. I'm too much of a, I worked with kids in facilities and like active jobs for the past few years. I don't own quote unquote nice clothes. So I got to find something. And then a podcast that I listen to, they do their own merch. And it's a D&D podcast. They sell their own merch. And so then I got this notification, hey, new merch just dropped. Come check it out. And I was like, oh, that dress is cute as fuck.
Oh, nice.
And so it just was all kind of like very serendipitous of just like all the pieces fell into place. I was like, oh, that's the one. It's gothic themed wedding. It's a gothic themed dress. This is perfect.
Love that. Do you feel like there will, you'll be able to like play more with like gender and like what that looks like?
Yeah. In fact, I yesterday just bought another dress and it's on the way.
Oh, you'll have to tell me. I can't wait. Where, is it from the same like company?
No, it's from Fabletics.
Oh, nice.
So I had a bunch of member credits and I was like, I'm not going to buy fucking anything here because I think it's all boring and basic. And I was like,
I like their shorts.
Their shorts are very nice.
But like, they're, I'm a sucker for short shorts. Like,
and yeah.
But that's the thing I think is like, we're in also in a time where like men are really pushing like the boundaries on like what masculinity looks like or like what you can wear. Like, we have like Bad Bunny who like, you know, wears skirts and like paints his nails and like, I think that it's really giving men that ability to say, you know what, I'm going to do masculinity the way it feels best to me. And so like, you know, last year I got into like Hoochie Daddy shorts and I just love them. I mean, I love shorts and that was just fucking ultimate. And so, I don't know. I think that there's just something freeing about pushing those norms because I know like my mom like would be like, those shorts are too short, and I'd be like, and they're just fucking legs, my dong is not hanging out, you know, like,
right? Yeah.
And if it was, you know, whatever, but like
it's my body, fuck off,
right? And so I don't know, there's something fun and freeing about it, you know. And yeah, I'm just curious to see like where we go as a society with like the image of masculinity, because you know, like, I love that like you are stepping into this role of like expressing yourself the way feels comfortable to you and that you're able to do it in like safe settings, because like, you know, like obviously you walk by, like you present very masculine, like your facial hair, but like, fuck it, you could switch it up and put on a dress and what, like that doesn't make you not masculine or, you know, like,
right.
And so I think that that's where we need to move more into, is being able to push those boundaries and realize that it's really not fixed masculinity, femininity. It's just like everything. But I think we've been taught for so long that like, even me as a gay man growing up, like I remember that I'd be like, oh, I don't want to be too gay, you know? And like, but why are we taught those things? You know, like, where does that come from? And I think that that's kind of what we're learning to unpack, is like, there is this attack on femininity. And I think that like, we have to get more comfortable with the idea that we're all both, you know?
Yeah. It's very, like you said, very freeing. And I think it's hard because so much of that comes from, I think, it being so demonized in our culture that it became so easily to commit violence about it.
Yeah.
And people get violence. So much in arms about it. Right. And so it was like, the only people that were ever willing to kind of push that boundary for a long time while we were growing up and before that were the people who were, in my opinion, more masculine than the people who were committing the violence, because they had the gall to stand up and say, fuck right. you, I'm gonna do what I want.
Right.
And I think there's this hard part of like the binary of masculinity and femininity of, it's not a binary, right? Like it's just this whole fluctuating, whatever the hell I want it to be on any particular day for myself. That's the beauty of it. I can sit here and I can put on a full 3-piece suit. I can look great and be very masculine And then I can also do a couple of different things and change up my hairstyle, throw some makeup on that, and turn that same exact clothing set into a, quote, feminine look.
Yeah.
And then the same thing on the opposite side with a dress, right? Like, typically we think of that as very feminine, and I can make that very feminine, but I can also make that very masculine, and right. I can do whatever the fuck I want with it.
Right.
And it's, I think it's so easy for our society to just make others of anybody that we just look for opportunities to do so. And instead of just embracing, like, at the end of the day, what Albert wants to do is what Albert wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
That has zero effect on Bo at all. Right. Like, we're
not close. If I wear a dress and it looks better than you. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that sounds like a challenge. Okay.
I think you got me. I don't know. I don't know if, like, what I look like. I'll take, like, Hoochie Daddy shorts.
But yeah, it's just one of those things. It's like, what other people do doesn't have a whole lot of an effect on my life.
Yeah.
Right. Like, what I choose to do generally has an effect on my life. The only time someone else's decisions seem to be affecting my life lately is when politicians try to make laws about my body. Yeah. And that seems to be the only people who have any kind of effect. But, like, in reality, like, my family can like me, love me, hate me, does not matter. Even that doesn't affect my life.
I love that.
Or it doesn't have to, I should say. And I know that's not the case for everybody, and is kind of, I don't know, maybe a privileged thing to say, because I am able to be fully self-supporting and mentally, you know, in a place where I can do that and say that, because my family does care about me. And so I do have the luxury of being able to be like, no, if they didn't want to care for me, then whatever. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the case for everybody, but it is very much like we make life so, I don't know, polarized. Mm-hmm. And that makes it really hard to let those things happen. And let people be who they want to be, which is why I do love to see so many people in, like, culture in general, as well as just, like, individuals on the street as I'm living my everyday life, people from the top all the way to the bottom being able to live the life that they want to live and express the way they want to express and do what they want to do and say what they want to say. Because it does, the more we push that boundary, the less that boundary exists.
Yeah. We need to be the ones to normalize it, because I do think that, like, as men, we do like to feel sexy, and sexy can be in so many different ways. Like, a lot of straight men, quote unquote straight men, like, they wear women's panties. Like, that's a very common thing. They just don't talk mm-hmm. about it. You know, yeah. Like, we're not seeing it, but, like, you know, I think that, like, we have to remember that it's about what makes us feel sexy and empowered. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a trend for a few years back where, like, you know, they were doing boudoirs for women, and then they created these dude boudoirs, and, like, you know, it was like men in, like, sexy poses. And, like,
yeah.
I remember, like, even back then I was kind of like, I'm curious to try it, but I'm not sure if I should, you know? And, like, my friend, like, did a milk bath shoot with me, and, like, I was, like, impressed with how the pictures came out, but have I ever posted them? No, because I'm like, there's still something in me that I'm like, oh my God, like, what if people see me in this light? And I think that it is just this narrative that we have, like, grown up with, you know, in the back of our head, all the negative voices, what are people going to say? You know, and, like, with that same friend, I did a photo shoot with where I, like, embodied Frida Kahlo, and I love that picture, because, like, it was so powerful to, like, be as, like, mask presenting as I am, but also play with, like, the femininity of, like, leaning into Frida and, like, just, like, my culture, and, like, that duality felt just really, like, soft but strong in so many different ways. And so, like, I think if we all can learn to lean more into that, then it's a pretty interesting, like, power that we could access, you know?
Absolutely. I think the world would be a better place if we just let everybody be themselves.
I agree. But yeah, I agree. What, how would you say, I want to try to wrap this up because we're running out of time, but like, last thing, like, how would you say, like, we are seeing a change in, like a change in masculinity and what it means today in 2024 versus like that version of you growing up within that like very like oppressed place and like mentality and like cult that you were part of back then?
Yeah, no, I think it's, I think we have so many individuals just living their everyday lives who are pushing those boundaries for themselves and what that means, right? I know some guys whose like families, like, because again, I grew up in a heavily Chicano population, Catholics with a steel mill. They were very gritty Chicanos. That's just the way that I, that's the people I grew up around. And so I had, at one point, I had people that were like, it's not manly to wear shorts because at a steel mill, you better be wearing pants if you don't want burns and cuts all over your legs. Yeah. Right. So like you're head to toe covered in coveralls and pants and long sleeve shirts always. So it was even small things like that of individuals wearing shorts, like pushing that narrative for themselves. We have so many individuals doing that, that we have enough celebrities and media people who are doing that on a grander scale, right? We've got, like you talked about,
Bad Bunny.
Brain fart. Yes, thank you, Bad Bunny. You know, we've got Harry Styles doing photo shoots in dresses. We've got Jason Momoa, who literally said, I had a pink car in the Fast X movie and wore fuchsia the whole time and painted my nails fuchsia because it pissed my mom off because she said it wasn't masculine. Like, so then we have from the top down all of these people pushing these ideas of masculinity is not any one particular thing. Masculinity is what do you do?
I love that.
And I think that's kind of like the beautiful thing that I'm seeing now in 2023, 2024, of the way the narrative around masculinity has changed.
Right. When I love that, because like, I don't like, I hear so many people saying, oh, there's an attack on masculinity. And it's like, no, there's not an attack on masculinity. The narrative that's going on is an attack on toxic masculinity. And that's just like when masculinity becomes toxic, when it's dangerous, when it is violent and aggressive. And I do think that there is beauty in masculinity. Like I am attracted to like masculine men, but there are some men that have very feminine features that I'm like, whoa, you're pretty sexy, you know? And so like, I think that we just have to be more open with ourselves and with like others to just realize that there's so much variety out there. Nothing is black or white. Nothing is like, it's not the way it was. Like, we're not all wearing powdered white wigs. And even then, like, they were wearing wigs and like dressed up in drag. Like, that shit was drag. Like, let's be real.
100%.
So, heels. Men wore heels, you know? Yeah. So, like, all that, like, it's just like ass backwards that like there's this huge attack. And it's like, if we just like stopped worrying about what other people were doing, who they were doing, we would be okay. We would really be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's that thing where it's like all the people who are complaining about there's an attack on masculinity are the ones who are doing the attacking.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's the case with so many things in general now. But it's like, no, the people that are on our side of it are saying, I don't give a fuck what you do. If your version of masculinity is you buying guns and jacking your pickup truck 4 feet off the ground so you need a ladder to get in and sure, go off. That's your thing.
Yeah.
My masculinity is I make a dope ass focaccia bread. Like that's fine. Like whoever that is. My
masculinity is everyone is just circle jerking. That's how you solve conflict. Everyone goes in a giant room. They take care of each other. It's very communal, very loving, supportive. Like, I mean, there's so many good aspects to it. Think about it. Like, why argue and fight and, like, hate each other? Just, like, take it out on each other. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? For some people, that may do wonders.
It's a new solution for world not peace. It'll be the new world peace treaty.
Oh God. We don't need to know anything about that. There's too many cameras in there. I don't think anybody wants to see what all those UN meetings look like in that.
No, have you been seeing those, like, okay, yeah. Like, and it was, and I hate to bring it up because I feel like the conservatives are going to say, here are the gays doing this shit, because it's been two gay guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of freaky action going on at the, is it the, what is it, the Capitol? No, the...
Yeah, it's in the Senate. Was it the Senate floor?
There, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That place.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the thing is like, those are the people who've gotten caught. Or and maybe not even the only ones who've gotten caught. There may have been plenty of other people who have gotten caught, but because they fit the narrative, it hasn't come out, right? Or whatever the case may be. Or they have the power to
hutch people. And,
yeah. You know. Like, the reality is, I can't remember who it was, but there was a representative who was in and lasted a term and then left. And this has probably happened more than one time, but it was like, yeah, I'm glad I'm not an elected official anymore, because like the moment I walked in there, I was the youngest person in the room and everyone was inviting me to the Congress orgies or whatever fucking, like,
what? That's how you get, yeah, in. Oh my God, I'm running for Congress.
I knew I'd get you into politics somehow.
I did not know they were that interesting. I knew there was a reason why Jacob loved them.
All
about politics. He didn't tell me that part. I'm gonna have to bring it up with him.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to ask some questions about that.
Mm-hmm. No wonder every third Tuesday of the month he goes to his little politics meeting.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know that goes on.
Oh, 100%.
All right, so now we're going to turn up the heat and go into a Spitfire game. So I'm going to give you two options and just pick whichever one comes to mind. Don't overthink it. Just go for it. So, okay. And they like the intensity goes up little by little. So let's go. You ready?
I'm ready.
90s cartoons or 80s cartoons?
90s.
90s music or 80s music?
90s.
Okay. Are you a night owl or an early bird?
Night owl.
Colorado or Oklahoma?
Neither, the beach.
Horror genre or romance genre?
Horror.
Okay. New Year's Eve or New Year's Day?
Eve.
American food or Mexican food?
Oh, Mexican.
Italian food or Mexican food?
Mexican.
Focaccia bread or
Mexican.
Dreamer or doer?
Dreamer.
Ocean or mountains?
Oh. Ocean.
Okay. Kissing or cuddling?
Cuddling.
Body hair or shaved?
Shaved.
Cuddling or foreplay?
Foreplay.
Little spoon or big spoon?
Depends on the day.
Fork. Nice. That's true though. That is very valid. Anime or hentai?
Anime.
Giver or receiver?
Giver.
Peaches or eggplants?
Either.
You made it through. Good job. All right. Final game. So this is called Song Association.
Okay.
This one is, it puts you on the spot a little bit more. I'm going to give you a word and you have 15 seconds to sing a song with that word. In
I'm so bad. Okay.
Let me pull up the timer. So let's see. And it has to have that word in the song.
Okay. Question. Did you watch Pitch Perfect?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember the, I forget what it's called, but the sing-off thing and then the pool? Are we going to be so specific to say, oh, it was and not it's?
Oh, I will let you get away with okay. it. I mean, as long as it's not like if I say red and you're, I don't know, I say Fred and you say Alfredo.
That's okay. Cool. Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
First one is try. 15 seconds for try. Go. Time.
Fuck. All right. Okay. I'm so bad with lyrics.
Listen, I am too. All right. Second one is don't. 15 seconds, go. Time.
Fuck.
I thought of Don't Speak by No Doubt.
Okay. That
would I don't know what genre of music you listen to, so I'm very like pop, so I like, you know.
That's fair. I'm more in my podcast era.
See, with try, I was thinking of the Macy Gray song, I Try, But I Choke, Walk Away, and I, yeah. All right, third one is stop. 15 seconds for stop, go.
Stop, collaborate, and listen. Ooh. Ice is back with the brand new invention, and that's where I'm going to cut myself off.
Perfect. All right, good job. So you have 1 out of 3. Good job. All right. Next one is love. 15 seconds for love. Go.
Love the way you lie.
Oh, good job.
Last second.
Yeah, listen, that was like right at it. All right, so 2 out of 4. All right, fifth one is can't. 15 seconds for can't, go.
I can't remember any of the lyrics to this, but it's can't stop, won't stop.
Oh, the rap song?
Yes.
Is that Young Bloods? Can't stop, won't stop, Rockefeller.
That may be true. The one I'm thinking of is a Christian rap artist from back in my day.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
So I don't think you're familiar.
No. All right, I'll give you that. So you have 3 out of 5. Good job.
Okay.
Final one is fire. 15 seconds for fire. Go.
Shorty fire burning on the dance floor. Whoa. Gotta cool it down.
Did it say fire?
Yeah. Shorty fire burning on the dance
floor. Oh, okay. I totally missed that. Okay.
Yes. You're looking at me and I was like, I gotta keep singing until he recognizes the song.
Did you say fire? That's like I was waiting for the word. Good job. Okay, so you got, let's see, 4 out of 6. That is not bad.
You know what? I'll take it.
You had to warm up a little bit.
That's what it was.
That's really what it was. Well, thank you so much for joining today. It was a really fun topic, very insightful. You know, like I said, I know you, but I don't know you. And I don't know much about your history. And I think that it's very important to have these conversations to kind of just look at like what people go through. Because even like we're talking about like the big trauma, little trauma, you know, like just because your experience wasn't like these other ones where they're like super horrific doesn't mean yours was any less traumatic, but it is interesting to see the comparison on how that was framed, you know, because like I said, like I could not imagine, like, even in my Catholic days, ever being like, oh yeah, I thought this guy was hot, and anyone ever even like rationalized, like, oh yeah, people think that all the time. Be like, yeah, all right, girl, you know what else I think, you know, like. But I'm thankful that you were able to share this, and I think that a lot of people can resonate and really take some insight from your experience. You know, it's stuff that happens that people don't get to think, like, get to see or hear often, because, you know, like I said, there's always just that more like this super traumatizing thing happened, but there's several layers of like what people go through and have to learn to undo and relearn. And, you know, like, I'm just glad that you're able to be in a better place where you're able to explore who you are and like truly just lean into who Beauregard is today, you know, because I feel like you're going to continue to evolve and explore these things, and like, you don't have these negative voices just like telling you to just kind of like put it back in that box, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things. It's like, I'm hope that I get to continue changing through the rest of my life. Like, the core part of me is always going to be caring for people. Yeah. But other than that, a lot of stuff's going to shift. Yeah. So yeah. And thank you so much for having me. Great to have this conversation. Like you said, I know we haven't had a lot of these get to know each other's, but it's, thank you so much for being part of the space that's safe and open for me.
Of course. Do you have any cool things that you're working on that listeners can look forward to, or just anything that you want them to know, projects or anything that you're doing or looking forward to do?
We've got Queer Fears at some point.
Yeah,
we haven't finalized stuff yet for that, but we are looking at that. If there are listeners here who have not listened to Queer Fears previous stuff, check it out. You might recognize a voice or two.
Yes, I want to like quickly tap in and say, like, listener, like, I think we talked about Queer Fears a little bit on another episode, but Beauregard is one of the actors on a few stories, which, by the way, like, still to this day, like, I'm just so impressed with like your talent, your commitment, your professionalism. Like, you really have brought a lot of these stories to life, and just like I, you know, I joked with you before, like, the big ass werewolf line, it's always like gets me, and I'm like, till this day, that's like what I'm gonna know you as. Like, big ass werewolf,
you know? My nickname, like, in your phone.
Exactly. But yeah, there's gonna be a lot more stories coming, and I'm just excited to see what we bring to life. And like, you've been helping write them, and so I can't wait. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Very happy to be able to have been a part of the beginning stages in the writing process of that too. So yeah, looking forward to that. So listeners, keep an eye out for any of that stuff. Don't really have any other projects, but if anybody does have other stuff that's listening and likes my sultry voice, feel free at Content by Beau on Instagram.
At Content by Beau. So y'all, please make sure you go over there and follow Beauregard. Like I said, awesome human, great heart. Said they're a dick. I haven't seen that side yet. So can't agree with that. But, you know, I'm so thankful for you. And listeners, if you have not gone and rated this podcast, please drop 5 stars. If you don't, then there's chances that Beauregard may turn into that big ass werewolf and eat your face off. We don't want that.
I don't make the rules.
Yeah, me either. I just know that you're going to be in for a terrible experience. Unless you're into that. But
hey, we don't kink shame here.
No. Getting your face ate off is definitely a hot kink for some people.
For some people. Y'all enjoy.
Yes. But please follow us on Instagram, Facebook. You can always send an email at itsgivingwhatif@gmail.com. Also, just want to remind y'all, we had Lore on here a few episodes ago from Creepy Chisme podcast. And I just want to like remind y'all, like, Lore is an amazing human with a great podcast. had a pleasure of having her on, and she's so sweet. Like, she's always shouting us out, and so I just want y'all to go back and show her love, leave her messages. We have so many future guests that I'm excited to bring on, and we're going to probably change the format a little bit. So I'm trying to see what works. There's been some new things I've introduced this episode and last episode, and it's been pretty fun just kind of putting our listeners in the hot seat. But thank y'all for listening. Love you so much. And I look forward to future episodes, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
It's giving what if.